Well, thank you for those opening remarks. My name is David Jensen. I'm with the UN Environment Program. And for the last 15 years, I've been working on this link between natural resources, conflict, and peace building. Now, just in case you hear a particular accent, I do also come from Canada, from the west side. I'm from BC. I grew up in Victoria. And I studied geography, and I studied political science and economics. So I have a bit of an interdisciplinary background. Before I start, I just wanted to know who we have in the audience. I want this to be interactive, so I want to know who you are. So just hands up very quickly. Who do we have from the law faculty? Okay, geography. Political science. Economics. Oh, only two, three. Okay, sociology? So, no. Okay, and what have I missed? Just shout them out.
Natural resources.
No, oh, I missed natural resources. IDS, what's IDS? Okay, fantastic. So I think the point is that mediation is fundamentally an interdisciplinary approach. It requires a multitude of different approaches and backgrounds, and that's a key message to keep in mind. So before I actually introduce the panelists, I wanted to give a bit of background on why we did this publication and this report, why we started this work. And it's basically three parts to the story. UNEP had been working in the field looking at the environmental impacts of conflicts. So after a big conflict, we'd go in with experts and we'd look to see how a conflict damaged the environment and damaged natural resources. But as we were doing this over a number of years, we realized that very few people in the UN system were looking at the drivers of conflict and how natural resources were driving conflict, and also how they were potentially contributing to peace building. So there was a big gap. And we started actually looking at all the conflicts around the world, and we determined that about 40 to 60% have a resource link. So almost half of all national conflicts, in one way or another, are linked to natural resources. And so we began to ask inside the system, well, who has the right mandate? Who actually has the mandate to deal with natural resources in conflict? And we went to the political side of the system, and we went to all the other technical agencies, and basically the answer was, well, nobody. Nobody has a mandate for looking at mediation of natural resource conflicts. DPA, the Department of Political Affairs, they mediate but mostly political issues. And UNEP, we obviously have a technical role in natural resources, but there was nobody bringing these two worlds together. And we thought this was a big gap. This was a gap that needed to be plugged. And so we set about to create this partnership with the political side to actually try to identify what good practice is in mediating resource conflicts and how we can take this forward together between the two parts of the system. So that was one reason. There was a big gap. It was falling through the cracks of the international system. The second reason is that as UNEP, we were getting more and more requests from countries to help on their own natural resource conflicts. A lot of conflicts between countries over water. A couple of examples, Afghanistan and Iran were asking us to help on mediation of a transboundary water conflict. Iraq and Iran were also asking for help. We had Palestine, Israel. We had North Sudan, South Sudan. So we were getting more and more requests to intervene on resource conflicts and to help mediate them. And we started doing that without a real sense of good practice. So in a sense, we were making it up as we went along. And we really thought we should collect good practice and figure out how to do this in the best way possible. So part of it was also building up our own capacity and really understanding what good practice was. And then finally, we could see this as an issue going forward. We could see more and more demand for this kind of capacity, and we really thought we should develop a new institutional mechanism to actually address it. And so basically we wanted to find partners around the world that we could work together with. We wanted to find experts that we could work together with going forward. So part of this was also looking forward and trying to build up new capacity to address it. And this is why we're very happy to have found McGill and experts like Michael and other experts in the room that we can work with going forward. So those were the three reasons for the report. So as I said, we basically reached out across the system, which doesn't sound like a big deal, but in fact it is, as UNEP, going into the technical side of the house, reaching into the political side, saying, hey, let's collaborate on this. It's actually a very rare thing, unfortunately. But we reached out into the political side. We joined forces. We brought together around 40 of the world's experts dealing with resource conflict mediation. We documented their experiences, and the product that was held up before is what is the outcome of the work. And I think there are copies in the back, or there should be copies available. So that's the basic background, and Micah will take you through the actual content. So before he does that, I just wanted to introduce the panel. And as I said, at some point, it's a high-level panel, it's a star-studded panel, and really it should be an excellent discussion. I think the panel collectively has experiences from around 30 conflict-affected countries, so there's a lot of excellent field experience. We have a mediator, we have government expertise, we have a former judge, we have expertise coming from the community side, the academic, the private sector, so we have an excellent assemblage of all the voices you might want to hear around mediation. So in terms of the panelists, the first, Louise Otis, on the very end there, she's a retired justice of the Quebec Court of Appeal, the adjunct president of the Administrative Tribunal of the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, president of the Court of Appeal of the Court at the International Organization of La Francophonie, and adjunct professor in the Faculty of Law at McGill University. So, fantastic to have you here. Thank you very much. Next, we have Jeffrey Davidson. He is the Extractive Sector Corporate Social Responsibility Counselor for Canada, and he's been involved with mining and mineral resource development for the past 35 years in one capacity or another. He's a project engineer, policy program advisor, a community worker, and a professor. Thank you very much, Jeffrey, for joining us. Third, we have François Chapeau, Special Rapporteur on the Human Rights of Migrants. He's the director of the Center for Human Rights and Legal Pluralism, professor and Oppenheimer Chair in Public International Law in the Faculty of Law at McGill University. Thank you very much. And Michael Brown, Senior Natural Resource Specialist and Mediation Expert. Michael is presently Professor of Practice in Natural Resource Conflict Mediation here at McGill. He was also the Senior Expert on the Natural Resources and Land Standby Team, and he is one of the principal authors of the guide. So, just a quick round of applause for our panelists. Thank you very much. So, we are about to begin our panel, but before that, there's a few ground rules and a few thank yous I must say. So, first of all, we are videotaping. There will be a summary of the report after the event, but what that means is it's not Chatham House rules, so it will be quotable. As I said, it will be videotaped. So I want to have a really dynamic discussion. So do prepare some questions. There will be moments where I will be asking from the audience for questions, so please start thinking about them now, really tough ones. I will also be engaging from time to time with follow-up questions, so we want to keep it as fluid as we possibly can. So what we're going to do is we're going to start. Michael is going to give a 10-minute overview of the guide, just walking you through the basics of what we tried to do, how it's laid out. Then each of our panelists is going to provide a 10-minute response in terms of how the guide resonates with their own experiences. What are the parts of the guide that actually speak to their backgrounds? What do they think we got right, and what did we maybe miss out on, or what did we get wrong? So each of the panelists is going to speak from their own experience and reflect on the guide themselves. We're going to start with Louise and then move on to Jeffrey. Then we'll have a pause for a couple of questions. And then we'll move on to François, Michael, another round of questions. We'll then close at around, I'm going to try to wrap up at around 6:50. We'll start wrapping it up around 6:50, and we'll try to end by 7 if we can. I've been requested to try to keep a good rein on time. I'll do my best. So just before we start the panel discussions, a few words of thanks. Again, I'd like to thank very much McGill University for hosting the event, Phil Oxhorn in particular, and the Institute for the Study of International Development. Daniel Jutra as well, Dean of the Faculty of Law, for the support. And I want to just point out that this is not the first time UNEP and McGill have collaborated. We've collaborated multiple times, in fact. We had a joint center on environmental assessment that we worked with in collaboration with Dr. Michel Bouchard for a number of years. The second big collaboration we had was around environmental peace building and John Unruh. We had lots of collaboration with John, and not to do any marketing, but this is one of the outcomes. This is one of John's books. And McGill's logo is right there on the back. So this is, And then finally, we have the new collaboration with Michael and with other colleagues, including John, on the mediation guide. So it's a long history of collaboration. We're very proud to have this. Finally, I need to thank two other individuals, the government of Finland, primarily the financial supporter for the guide, together with Italy and the European Union. And then finally, I think I really want to thank Justin Trudeau. I have seen the letter he has sent to his new ministers, committing Canada to re-engage in multilateral institutions and committing Canada to re-engage in peace-building, mediation, and peacekeeping. And I think that's a fantastic commitment. We're very happy to see that. And part of this discussion should really be asking, well, how can this particular process, how can this particular guide help feed Canada's new vision? So let's have that in mind as we have this discussion.